Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander. We're at the First Bank Studio here in Hattiesburg. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. Opening segment of the show is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, and we encourage you to do business with those great folks at Dickey's. And if you've got a special event coming up, Dickey's is a great catering source. You can call them, tell them all about your event, and Dickey's will cater something special for you. Going to visit with our buddy Patrick McGee from the Biloxi Sun-Herald to kick things off today. Patrick, talking to you before we went on the air, I know in past years under Coach Hobson, it seems like we've always, you know, waited until almost the kickoff of football season to announce who the starting quarterback is. It was kind of frustrating at times. It was always this competition for quarterback, but maybe not the case now. You said in a conversation you had with Coach Hall last week, he pretty much said who's going to be the QB.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't come out straight. He says he's going to give T. Webb and Tykes a chance to compete, but he just acknowledged it, that Trey Lowe has got a significant lead on the other guys just based on being able to go through the spring and everything he's shown through fall, I mean, through the summer. He's done all the right things, and he's shown really good promise at the quarterback position. It seems his football is, you know, well ahead of him, and they hope it's this season. So I think him kind of, that was a matter of Will Hall kind of setting expectations. They don't want too many people, you know, clamoring for Tykes in week two of fall camp. Mm-hmm. So it appears, kind of looking back to the spring, that's what I saw. If you saw the team go through drills and everything, it was pretty obvious that Trey Lowe was the guy. Just the way he goes about things and everything he brings at the position. So, yeah, it would be really stunning if he's not the starting quarterback for the season opener.
We hear so much about transfers now and the transfer portal. I was reading today about all of these transfers within the Power 5 schools going from one Power 5 school to another. But Trey Lowe is an example of a kid that the transfer really worked out. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I think he's really a case example of how these transfers can work and work for the better of the athlete. And I mean, he was at West Virginia 3 years, and he's already graduated from West Virginia. So he comes in with a degree and had a slight late start on the season last year, and it was tough for him, really kind of thrown into the fire. It took him a few games to really get his feet under him, but that FAU game, I think we all got kind of a glimpse of what he's capable of. So, yeah, I think Trey Lowe is an example of somebody that's really used the transfer portal to his benefit.
And is this his last year of eligibility? Correct me if I'm wrong about that.
No, he's a sophomore.
So he's got a lot of eligibility.
Just because of the COVID year. I mean, you know, in a usual season, he'd be a junior this year. But just because of COVID, he's still technically a redshirt sophomore. So this is one of 3 years remaining eligibility for Trey Lowe.
Man, by the end of his football career, he could be Dr. Trey Lowe. You know, he's already got his bachelor's, right?
I think there could be a fair amount of doctors on the field this season with some 6 and 7 year seniors out there.
Yeah, but see, I was in college for 6 or 7 years, but for some reason, I didn't get, you know, my doctorate.
Right.
Yesterday, switching gears to this this continuing ball of clay that gets shaped and reshaped in conference realignment, and we're even kind of sick of talking about it here on this show. But yesterday, Patrick, we were critical of Conference USA officials that all the other conferences, although they were pretty generic in content, all the other conference commissioners, it seemed, had released some kind of statement about the landscape or the future landscape of college football. But Judy McLeod finally had an announcement yesterday afternoon, and again, to no one's surprise, and to be fair, there is not a whole lot she could say, but your reaction to its generic content?
Well, I guess there's just the acknowledgement that the board of directors, I guess, have met on this topic. So at least they're talking about it. Unfortunately for Conference USA, it's, you know, I hope they've been thinking creatively for a while and trying to come up with some ideas how they can make it work for all their partner schools, whether it's a realignment, a merger, or something among Sunbelt Conference USA, possibly even the Mountain West involved. You're just waiting. Unfortunately for Conference USA, you're just waiting for the next shoe to fall and waiting to see how that impacts you. I mean, Conference USA or Sunbelt, the Mountain West, they're not going to be leading the way as realignment, you know, plays out. It's waiting to see what happens next and how best they can adjust.
And Conference USA's new approach might have to be, will we expand? Which teams will we go after? Literally, could it be a fight for its existence, its life?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, is Conference USA going to be a thing, you know, in 3 or 4 years? I guess that's really the conversation that has to be going on. Or do you go to a Liberty, or do you do some of these other things? I mean, there's a lot of things they can be talking about, but in reality, I mean, expansion seems obvious. You know, it seems silly. I mean, unless you're doing some type of merger, if you think somehow strength in numbers, where Conference USA and Sunbelt just kind of give up and just kind of become one big thing or something, I don't know. It's really an impossible situation. I've written a lot about in the past in terms of realignment between the Sunbelt Conference USA. It's past time that they do something, and right now it's kind of everything's past due. It's going to be a lot of pain in the months and years ahead for Conference USA.
Are we getting ahead of ourselves, though, Patrick? As I understand it, this deal with Oklahoma and Texas is not supposed to happen until 2025. Or do you think that's going to happen in a shorter time frame?
Well, it depends. If the Big 12 dissolves, I mean, which is a real possibility, this could all get sped up a lot faster. So if Texas Tech and some of these other schools join the Pac-12. There may be some scraps left over, maybe Iowa State, or Kansas State. You know, you would think somebody's going to scoop up Kansas just based on basketball. It's, you know, if the Big 12 falls apart, all this thing can move much, 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 much quicker.
But really, the bottom line is, regardless of which scenario you want to go with, and there's about 100 different ones, right? But generally speaking, this is not going to bode well for Southern Miss and the rest of Conference USA. And look, we're trying to look at this realistically. We're not trying to be negative Nellies or we have a case of the Mully Grubs here. We're just trying to look at this realistically. And is it fair to say that this probably is not going to end up as good for Southern Miss and other Conference USA schools?
Yeah, it depends on if the Big 12 is still around in a couple of years. I think if the Big 12 is still here, which, honestly, I don't think it will be. That would kind of leave open the possibility, you know, the Big 12 would add some schools out of the American, possibly Cincinnati, Central Florida, maybe Memphis. And that would give the opportunity, say, for 3 or 4 Conference USA schools to move in the American. The American could go much bigger. They may go, you know, try to grab a Mountain West team or two or something like that. So there's a lot of things that could happen that could possibly improve the situation for a Southern Miss or a UAB or maybe an Old Dominion, but it's Marshall. I guess I should put it in that group. But right now, the odds trend toward this not being to the benefit of really any of the member schools of Conference USA.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, we're going to bring you back on the show Friday, and I don't want to just completely change gears, but I do want to ask you about this before we run out of time today. About 90 seconds left. Last year, we talked to you a lot about high school football when it got started and how it was a train wreck because of COVID-19. And we've spent the last few months thinking, oh, well, the coast is clear, everything is good now. But now on the horizon, it looks like there could be more trouble for high school and junior college football because of this increasing virus variant. Am I wrong or right about that?
No, you're right, but it seems like it's a slow walk that you don't really see officials talking about this. But, I mean, it's obvious that this variant impacts younger people more than
right.
the previous stuff.
Right.
So what worries me is that we're three or four games in, and it's really wreaking havoc. That's where it's worrisome. You hope, you know, we find some way out of this and that the trend, I mean, we announced our biggest single-day caseload of in Mississippi in 6 months today. So I'm not going to offer any advice on what to do. You know, people need to make their own decisions, but we are not going in a good direction. And the high school football season is 1 month away. And, you hope people take precautions and do all the right things. But, you know, everybody's really obviously real back for good reason with the vaccine available. But, you hope this doesn't impact, you know, younger kids as we get into to the school year.
And what's scary about this particular variant is that it is affecting younger people, but it seems to be hitting them even harder than the original dose hit us older folks. Right. You know, which, man, it must really be strong if it's taking down the 20-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
All right, Patrick, we appreciate your time today. Look forward to having you back on the show. We'll talk a little more about this come Friday and some other stuff about Southern Miss football camp. Thank you for your time, sir.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor for the Biloxi Sun-Herald, going to rejoin the show Friday. Want to talk a little more about that, Kelly. That's a growing story that nobody's talking about right now. We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I want to thank our buddy Patrick McGee, the professor from the Biloxi Sun-Herald, best sports writer in Mississippi. You know that now, though. I appreciate him coming on. We're going to bring it back Friday, and talk a little more about some high school stuff and things that we really haven't discussed largely. But Kelly, I'm telling you, man, it's this big ugly cloud is on the horizon when it comes to high school athletics. And one point that I think Patrick made that's really important could affect college athletics too. This is different than what we were talking about a year ago. Most of the most vulnerable people are vaccinated. It's the younger people that didn't want to get vaccinated, and it's the younger people that seem to be falling like flies with this new variant. So how could it not affect high school and college sports?
And now you're talking about the players.
Right.
You know, you're not talking about the coaches or the teachers.
Right.
You're talking about the players. And obviously, if they start having difficulties, there is no team to put on the field. And I know athletic directors and principals have got to just be throwing their arms up in the air.
Oh, you know they are.
You know, when is this ever?
No, you know they are.
But you know, the virus thing, I mean, anything, like if you don't know how to swim, all right, and you get thrown into a lake, you try to live. I mean, you try to figure out how to swim or get yourself to shore, right? There's just that thing that's inside of you that mm-hmm. you have the desire to live. A virus is no different. I mean, obviously, I'm not a doctor, didn't stay at the Holiday Inn Express, but I'm just saying the virus doesn't want to die either. And so with these variants, it changes itself in an effort to stay alive.
Right.
All right? And again, most doctors have said that, 88% of the cases now are of people who have been unvaccinated, but this one seems to be stronger, and it is attacking the younger people who have always kind of felt themselves bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
So, gosh, I just, please, let's do whatever we need to do to get a football season in.
Now let's just all cooperate for once about something, but subject for another matter. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net. We appreciate them, and we encourage you to do your Southern Miss shopping there. They've got the greatest selection of apparel you'll find really anywhere. There's really no close second. And they've got it for your house, for your car, for your body, and they're great people. Kathleen is just a wonderful lady, and we know you'll enjoy doing business with Campus Bookmark. You can shop online at campusbookmark.net. All right, Kelly Center, I'm going to go back to this realignment thing. I read an interesting article earlier today, and this was written by a sports writer out of Dallas. And apparently there's a lot of movement taking place right now in the Big 12. Obviously, the news broke about Oklahoma and Texas. But this sports writer projected that the conference is going to fold.
And, which is what Bob Hogue thought a couple of days ago.
And that this is where he sees the teams going. And I'm going to run this by you. Now, this is not good news here for schools like Southern Miss. He projects two of the schools will move to the American Athletic Conference, Baylor and Texas Tech. big additions for that conference if they got those two schools, right?
And Texas A&M already is a little bit hot that Texas would be going to the SEC, so you can certainly bet that any other Texas schools would not be welcomed with open arms. And you would think wherever those two schools wind up, you would think they would go together because they're from the state of Texas.
Right.
So that certainly makes sense.
West Virginia to the ACC.
It is the team that is farthest to the east in the Big 12 in Huntington, West Virginia. So that makes, well, Huntington is where, I'm sorry, that's where Marshall is, but West Virginia, you know, over in Charleston. So that would make sense, the ACC.
Oklahoma State and TCU to the Pac-12.
Oh, boy. TCU has had notoriety, national notoriety in football, but they've been kind of hit and miss. I would think that the Pac-12 would be looking for more of a prime time team like Kansas, for example, with their basketball program. Now, with Kansas, it's feast or famine. You got a really good basketball team, and you have a lousy football team.
Right.
I mean, terrible.
Right.
Where Les Miles even had to, you know, take a walk after going to Kansas. So I don't know about Oklahoma State.
Kansas State to the Mountain West.
That would make sense.
And Iowa State, you're pretty familiar with, and Kansas to the Big Ten.
Again, the drawing card for Kansas is that basketball program. It's the plum of the Big 12. But now Bob Hoge,
Iowa State's a good basketball program.
Well, they only won like three games last year total, and of course it cost Steve Prohm his job. But as Bob Hoge from the PacWest mentioned on this program 2 days ago, he doesn't like Iowa State as a Big Ten candidate because there's really Iowa State doesn't really bring anything to the table. Iowa's Hawkeyes have already made Iowa a television market for the Big Ten, and they would just have to be kind of fighting little brother there, as it were. Geographically, it makes perfect sense because you got Nebraska as far west as Nebraska. You got Rutgers to the east, but you got Minnesota, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa. You know, they're all right there. So geographically, it would make sense, but we'll see. It's going to be something to watch.
Now, if this were to hold true, if this writer were to be accurate, that would mean an expansion of the American Athletic Conference. According to him, they'd be adding Texas Tech and Baylor. And I think if the AAC just looked to expand a couple of teams and were to snatch a couple out of the Big 12, then forget it. I mean, you know, Southern Miss, UAB, none of those schools are ever going to be in the American Athletic Conference.
And that is the premise that Patrick McGee was just operating on, and I do think Bob Hoge a couple of days ago was thinking. They both think that the Big 12 will dissolve and that those schools will be snatched up by these other conferences. It certainly would be a plus for the AAC. But even let's suppose that does happen. What's wrong with combining the Sun Belt and Conference
USA? Well, that
was
my next question. Would this not be the opportune time, with all this realignment taking place, would this not be the time for the officials of those two conferences to sit down and finally get this worked out?
Somehow, some way, and I think it would be great. And just about, based on the feedback that we get on this show, whether it's via text message or email, most Southern Miss fans, it seems to me, and you can agree, certainly, Bob, or disagree, but don't you think that the overwhelming feedback has been that a lot of Southern Miss fans would love to see that happen?
I would say the majority. There's some that don't like that.
Sure.
I would think the majority are in favor of that.
Yeah, with South Al, who you're going to open the season with this year. You're playing Troy. You got Louisiana Lafayette, you know, right down the road. You got Monroe. I mean, from a geographic standpoint, it certainly makes a lot of sense.
And I think not only with football, Kelly, I think that enhances the baseball conference if you bring those two together. There's some really good Sun Belt baseball teams.
Well, you got Charleston, right?
Correct.
And they won the championship a couple years ago. South Alabama made it deep this year.
Lafayette's
been good forever. Georgia Southern's always going to be decent in football and baseball.
Right.
So, agreed. You know, when you look at but the Sun Belt is kind of like Conference USA in its DNA, in the fact that basketball is its weakest link, right? And no disrespect to any, it just is. Football is probably a close second, baseball by far, when you look at national prominence and wins and losses on the field, the Sun Belt and Conference USA mimic each other in just about every sport.
Right.
So that's another reason why the melding of those two conferences would make sense. You're not really changing the DNA. You're just changing the chassis a little bit.
Well, my feeling about that is you would enhance the baseball league. It would be even better. And they're both good baseball leagues. That would be
they
even
are.
Better. There would be some improvement, I think, in the football league with bringing in some of those Sun Belt teams and combine. And basketball probably stays about the same. But, I mean, geographically, it makes sense. For a Southern Mississippi, it would create what we lost when the American Athletic Conference snatched up all the quote-unquote rivals.
The natural regional rivals.
Correct.
From a fan standpoint, Bob, let's just take football. If that would happen from a fan standpoint, if you're a hardcore fan of the black and gold, you don't even have to worry about whether the Eagles are going to be at home. You get in the car and drive to Mobile an hour and a half.
Well, and wouldn't you think more people would be apt to enjoy and buy tickets to watch Southern Miss play, pick it, Louisiana Lafayette than Texas El Paso? I mean,
yes.
Just geographically, it makes so much more sense.
I would say Louisiana Monroe, except they came in here a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you probably don't want them coming back.
Ceremoniously kicked us to the curb.
And to those fans that say, oh, no, you know, we've got to take the next step. We got to get to the next level. Get realistic, guys. The next level is not going to happen if that means you're going to beat out a Baylor or a Texas Tech to become a member of the American Athletic Conference. Is that fair to say?
Except what we are, and there's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong with what we are.
Right. Just to accept
enjoy that.
Right. Right.
Quit worrying about what LSU and Alabama are doing.
And really, the part of the problem with Conference USA is nobody in Conference USA, and I'm picking on these two schools just because of the geographic extremes. Nobody really cares in Hattiesburg what they're doing at ODU, at Old Dominion.
No.
They're so far away.
No.
And
no.
UTEP is just out there on an island by themselves, and everybody hates that road trip
right.
to UTEP, but especially if you're at Marshall and ODU and some of those.
For good reason.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
If you don't think the Southern Miss football program is a good one, however, there are 13 Golden Eagles right now in NFL camps. Kelly Sander, we're going to review where all these kids are, and there's one name that's missing that's going to come as a big surprise to you, but 13 Golden Eagles looks like are going to make NFL rosters. Pretty good, don't you think?
But that one, things it's that make you go,
pretty surprising.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, glad you're with us this afternoon. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. What a great bunch of guys right on the shadow of the rock. Great plate lunches 5 days a week. Great food throughout the evening. Your favorite game is always on TV. And we're going to have to go down there again pretty soon, Kelly Sander, and do a live remote. Every time you go to 4th Street Bar and Grill, you have a good time.
Yeah, they've got the Golden Tee game there, too. A lot of guys who like golf, you know, they'll compete against each other in Golden Tee. There's always some type of fun competition or something going on down there.
Lance Ankar, the new strength and conditioning coach for the Southern Miss football program, is going to be on the show tomorrow. He's going to be in the studio, and he's going to arm wrestle Kelly Sander on the air. And I'm already putting my money on Lance Ankar.
That's not in my contract. I mean, and if you've seen that guy, you're going to have to put pillows on these windows, Bob. This guy.
Yes, he is very well cut and a very, very nice guy. I met him a couple of weeks ago and really a super guy. I look forward to sharing the hour with him tomorrow. And then Collins Hess on the show Friday. And we're going to have Patrick back. Collins Hess, great football player for Southern Miss.
Played for Jim Carmody. And, of course, makes his home in Huntsville now, Huntsville, Alabama. And tonight, coincidentally, Coach Will Hall makes his traveling caravan will be in Huntsville tonight. Mm-hmm. So it'll be real interesting to see how Collins reacts to Will Hall and his presentation. Will Hall's like the main act, Bob. If he had to have a band open for him,
mm-hmm.
I thought considering what's going on out at Southern Miss, how about Men at Work?
That could be,
a good band to
he's
open
actually,
for him.
So he's in Huntsville tonight. He's going to be in Philadelphia tomorrow for some kind of football roundtable.
Going to be in Houston, Texas Yeah. You know, so, I mean, he's going everywhere to promote this Southern Miss program, and it's paying off because season tickets are like I said, 1,700 more new subscribers this year than they've ever had. And while we're on that subject, Bob, today the university is introducing a pledge per win situation at Southern Miss, where whether you're an Eagle Club member or not, this is open to everybody, okay, where you can go on their website and make a pledge per win. Now, if they tie or if they lose, obviously you're not going to have to pay anything. But for every game Southern Miss wins, you can pledge a certain amount of money, whatever you choose, that will go directly to scholarships at the university. Now, if you're not a member of the Eagle Club, don't think you can afford the Eagle Club, this is a way that you can participate and help the school, you know, to give what you can. If you're an Eagle Club member and you give at a certain level, but you might not be able to give enough to make it to the next level, this is a way that you could fill in the blanks. I mean, every penny is going to help. So you can go on their website. Pledge per win is the name of the game. And again, you can they can set it up on bank draft or whatever, credit card, to where every win Southern Miss puts in that column, you'll be donating to the university amount of money per win. So we encourage you to take part in that.
Could we get Lee Applewhite in the studio to talk to us about it without him hitting us up for a check before he leaves the building?
Well, he knows, Bob, that you've got more than you know what to do with. So he just has some ideas.
I'm going to pledge thousands for that Alabama game. I mean, I'm going to really go out on a limb. I'm going to pledge $10,000 to you, Kelly Center, if Southern Miss beats Alabama.
It's not just for one game, Bob. You're committing.
Oh, okay.
You're committing for the whole season, X number of wins. Okay. So let's just say you pledged $100 per win, and Southern Miss won six games. Then you would be donating $600 to the university.
I got you.
Okay. That's the way it works.
We might ask him about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, pretty cool idea.
Tie his hands to his waist or something like that so he won't be grabbing at our wallets. Okay, 13 players, Kelly. 13 Golden Eagles in NFL camps right now. I thought it would be fun to go down that list. And if you want to comment on any of these kids and what you remember about them, let's start with Cornell Armstrong. He is in the Houston Texans camp. They're at the Houston Methodist Training Center, obviously in Houston. And it looks like Cornell is going to be a member of the Houston Texans.
And I think we kind of lost track of him. You know, he was a guy that was kind of under the radar. But anytime you make an NFL team, and look, the Texans are down, right? But, I mean, it's the National Football League.
That's right. So it doesn't matter if they're down or up.
And, again, they're there now, and we hope they're going to be there once the rosters get narrowed down. But
now, here's a familiar name. No surprise, he's still in the NFL. Jamie Collins, Sr., going to play for the Detroit Lions this fall.
And he's always been productive.
Yeah, he's always been really good.
Yeah, no matter where he's been. And hopefully he can help get that Lions defense turned around a little bit. They've got a new coach and trying to get things. And they're in a tough division with Green Bay. And Chicago's pretty good. Minnesota's been good for the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
So it won't be easy. But Detroit has a good veteran leader on that side of the ball.
We had this kid on the show last year, and what a great young man. DeMichael Harris is going to go back for his second year with the Indianapolis Colts. And, again, he was on the program last year and was just a humble, nice kid. You hope that he does very well.
D-Mike is what they call. Of course,
really,
you know,
nice kid.
Frank Reich and some of those Colt administrators were on those list of people that are on the new COVID list.
Right.
So we hope that D-Mike will lay low here and make that final cut.
Rashad Hill is going to be a Minnesota Viking. He's in the Twin Cities Orthopedic Performance Center working out with the Vikes.
And the Vikings, they're looking. They've made a few changes, although the man at the top, Mike Zimmer, is still there. Again, in that rugged black and blue division, as we used to call it back in the old days.
Tim Jones is where I was just last week. He's with the Jaguars in Jacksonville, Florida, in Paradise, getting ready to play football.
I always thought that Tim Jones was one of those most consistent performers that Southern Miss had at the wide receiver position. I just thought he was a guy that they could really count on and made the most of every attempt he had.
So he's there with the kid from Clemson, and you got to believe that's going to be a pass-happy offense. So
yeah,
that could be a good situation for him.
And the poor kid from Clemson has to take a pay cut to go to the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. But it's tough, I know. Tavarius Moore is a defensive back, of course, and he's going to return with the 49ers. He's found him a home.
The 49ers, going back to Patrick Willis, when he played there, you know, from out of Ole Miss, and they've got that that upstart. Now, they had a down year last year, but with Shanahan in there, it looks like San Francisco looks to rebound, and he'll help that team.
This young man's been on the show several times. Nick Mullins, of course, a quarterback from the Golden Eagles, and he is now a – God, it hurts me to say this – he is a Philadelphia Eagle.
Ugh. Goes from one Eagle to another Eagle.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I know you do, but the Eagles, that's a great pickup for them.
Oh yeah, that's a good spot for Nick, question.
And we've seen, you know, the numbers on the field are one thing, but there's something inside of heart and that intangible that I think Nick Mullins has, and I think the Eagles saw that as well. And when he became available, you know, they snatched him right up. There was talk, you know, that maybe New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Where he could go be a starter, but they're going to have Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, I guess, battle that out for the starting job mm-hmm. down there.
So Nick is joined by Quez Watkins, who's also a Philadelphia Eagle.
Another receiver that guy, he can fly. And it's kind of ironic that he goes to the Eagles when you got a guy that can fly like he can.
Picasso Nelson Jr., he's been on the program before. He is with the Arizona Cardinals, and he is out in the desert getting ready for football.
And the thing about Picasso is whether he makes that team or not, it's not going to matter to him. I mean, it will. But as far as financially and stuff go, he is so smart and such an entrepreneur. He's already laying the groundwork for the real estate business mm-hmm. and development business that whether football works out or not, he's already ready for the next
smart
chapter
kid
of his
from
life.
A great family.
He sure is.
Place.
Yeah, sure is.
Raheem Nunez Roches is going to return to the world champions. He's a Tampa Bay Buck.
We should get a picture of his ring.
Yeah, he's definitely got one. Probably going to get another one this year. Here's a great story. Jalen Richard, he's really found himself a home with Chucky out in Vegas, and he's a Raider.
Yeah, the problem is I don't know if Chucky's going to have a home too much. Yeah. I mean, they signed him for 10 years, but there seems to be some turmoil out there as to whether that team is really getting better or not. But he's definitely one of Gruden's guys,
and
right?
He's a big part of their offense.
Yeah.
Rashard's a real contributor. Mike Thomas, you know where he's at?
Of course I know where
he is. He's a Bengal.
He is, and he's going to get to he's going to be incorporated. It looks, if all things, you know, stay the same, it looks like he'll be getting more touches this year with Joe Burrow back, provided he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. And that has to be said with all capital letters and underlined three times because you can't throw from your back. Right. And that's always been Cincinnati's problem. But he was a contributor for him last year, yeah.
Cameron Tom was with the Saints for a long time and really got a lot of playing time. He's a great center, really good young man. He's now with the Dolphins. So he's made a move.
And if I could pick a team that would really be the sleeper this year that maybe nobody will talk a whole lot about.
It could be Miami.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it could be
and
Miami.
Look, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
And I'll beat the Dolphin fans to that because they'll say it's been a long time coming. So let's hope for Cameron that's the case, that there's another. The worst thing that could happen to me would be an all-Florida Super Bowl.
Right.
I would hate it come down between Miami and that other team.
Yeah, well, good.
Here's
the biggest surprise, last 30 seconds. He was drafted in the fourth round 3 years ago, started half of the games last year for the Atlanta Falcons, and then without explanation, the Falcons cut Ito Smith, and as of today, has not been picked up by another team. And that, Kelly Sander, is a big surprise to me.
I agree. He was a workhorse for the Falcons, and he wasn't just a... You know, he wasn't a slouch second string guy.
No.
I mean, he caught passes out of the backfield and was fairly durable. You know, it's tough to be real durable as a running back in the NFL, but I'm surprised by that too, but would not be surprised for somebody to snatch him
up. You got to believe Ito can contribute to some NFL football team.
Yeah, he's got, what, three, four or five seasons under his belt now already?
Yes, this would have been his fourth year.
Okay.
Yeah. So Ito Smith looking for a home, 13 Golden Eagles in NFL training camps right now. All right, when we come back, Kelly's got a little to say about a lot of things. He's keeping up with the news. We'll have it next.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. I want to thank D1, DBAT, for their sponsorship of the Eagle Hour. We tell you about them every day, but it's just true. State-of-the-art training facility for kids involved in baseball and softball. For adults involved in every sport, they'll tailor a training program for you to help you accomplish what goals are in front of you. They've got expert trainers and a state-of-the-art facility, and we encourage you to check them out. D1 and DBAT on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. All right, Kelly Sander, you got a little about a lot, or is it a lot about a little?
A little bit about a lot of things.
Okay.
All right, let's start with Conference USA, where they continue to put out watch lists for the upcoming football season. The Ray Guy Award, Bob, would be given to what position, would you think?
I would think a special teams player, Kelly.
What specifically?
I would think a punter.
Oh, very good,
yes.
Bob. Very good, Bob. Sports for 200, please.
Yes.
Yes, the Ray Guy Watch Award list is for the top punter in the league. And you want to know what's something that's crazy? First of all, the nominees, there are six of them. Okay, Tommy Heatherly from FIU, Matthew Hayball from FAU. You got Kyle Albrecht from Middle Tennessee, Kyle Greenwell from UAB, Lucas Dean from UTSA, and John Haggerty from Western Kentucky. The Ray Guy Award, Bob. Is there anything you notice about that list?
No USM player on there.
Yeah. The Ray Guy Award. I mean, Ray Guy, of course, notorious and what a probably and arguably the greatest true athlete to come through Southern Miss. There would be
most people believe that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But no Southern Miss punter on that list. Okay, so that's the Ray Guy.
Can't overlook Tommy Waters.
Touchdown Tommy Waters.
That's
somebody
right.
Somebody mentioned him on social media yesterday. It was good to see his name. Lou the Toe Groza Award watch list. Now you remember Lou the Toe.
I do.
Back from your childhood. Kicker for what team?
The Cleveland Browns.
Yes, he was forever and ever. So the Lou the Toe Groza Award watch list would be to what player?
I would think the place kicker. Kelly.
You are correct again, yeah. Bob. Boy,
see why I have a show, don't
boy,
you?
Boy, I'm telling you.
I'm
sharp. All right, so let's look at the nominees for the Lou the Toe Groza Award. Hunter Duplessis from UTSA, who's probably the front runner. Brandon Narveson from Western Kentucky. Jacob Barnes from La Tech. Matt Quinn from UAB. Anything stick out in that list, Bob?
No Golden Eagle.
Of all the award lists there are, I think we've got two guys. Maybe on a watch list.
I personally think that award will have no credibility until they forget about Lou Groza and they make it the Jim Stump Taylor Award. Then it has significance to me.
Good point.
Yes.
Good point.
And Jim told me to say that. So we knew you were going to talk about this today, and he asked me to mention that.
The fact that you and I even remember who Lou the Toe Groza...
Tells you a lot.
That's going back.
Tells you a lot.
He kicked it straight on,
yes,
and with
did.
Those high top shoes.
And the Browns were good back then.
They were.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, the Browns were good back then, but a team that's not very good right now, the Washington football team.
Hey.
Head coach Ron Rivera is very disappointed in his players, and rightfully so. He, of course, is immune compromised because of the cancer treatments that he's had, and he's still walking around the training facility in a mask. The Washington football team.
You can say the Redskins, Kelly. That's all right.
Has less than a 60% vaccination rate. The lowest in the National Football League.
Wouldn't you think that those players would get vaccinated out of respect to Coach Rivera, if nothing else?
That's what he's asking. He's saying, look, guys, I'm not God, obviously, but you do understand my situation.
That's just so self-centered.
You know, can you cut me some slack here?
Yeah.
So, but the NFL, you know, with the CDC, and you're going to start seeing, you know, new rules with the variant now coming out again. Again, stay tuned for all that. And finally, we mentioned it yesterday, the Olympic ratings lower than they've been in some 30 years. And one of the things that ratings people are attributing it to is they're blaming it on younger people, that the 20-year-olds and younger, they just don't do sports. Generally speaking,
I think that's wrong.
They just don't watch sports. They said when you look at attendance of college football games, regardless of the level, when you add up the averages across the country, basketball, just about all sporting events, professional, amateur, collegiate, and high school, numbers are way down. And they say it's not that the games necessarily have changed. There is some of the political correctness that people are a little tired of. But they say don't underestimate the power of that 20 and under crowd who just doesn't seem to be latching on to sports like they used to with
kids. Kelly, when you see them at games, their heads are stuck in their iPhones. I mean, I don't even know why they go to the game.
Or the iPad or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're too busy Facebooking to watch the game they bought a ticket to go see.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point.
Unbelievable.
But it's certainly going to affect the negotiations with the Olympic committees. They continue to name cities that are going to have Olympics in the future. But television ratings and the big numbers that normally come along with Olympics and the rights to broadcast the Olympics will certainly be affected if these numbers don't turn out any better. Yeah. So that's a little bit, Bob, about a lot of things. Again, we mentioned Will Hall is going to be in Huntsville tonight, Huntsville, Alabama, where there's really a significant alumni group, you know, around the Huntsville area. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. Colin Sess is going to be there, and we'll have a report from Collins on Friday as part of our Eagle Hour going forward.
And, of course, Kelly will be wrestling strength coach Lance Ancar in the studio tomorrow.
Oh, so, yeah.
If you want to put a bet down, I would bet on Coach Ancar is what my suggestion
bet
would be.
Bet the mortgage.
Yes, please. And my mortgage, too, on that one. We'll be back at 1 tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.